Good morning again, and grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about heroes. Heroes of the faith, heroes of the Bible, heroes of yesteryear, heroes like Daniel, David, Peter, Paul, Elijah, and Elisha, but also heroes of today for Christ. I want to ask you this question. Do you think you could be a hero? Do you think you could live such a life as one according to Scripture? We're going to talk about that today and see what God has in mind for us. But in order to start talking about heroes, I wanted to talk about heroes in general first before we talk about heroes of the faith. And I got a private confession to make to you about my love for heroes. There's a picture in my family that if you ask my parents or my sisters, what's the most famous picture of Pastor Greg when he was a little boy, they'll all name the same thing I can tell you right now without any preparation. That's a little picture, not very beautifully taken, but captures me, really, as a little boy. And I'll just share that what it was. I'm running across the front yard in our home in New Canaan. My arms stretched out like this. I got a red towel, safety pins, to my Superman shirt that I'm wearing with this big, broad smile on my face. Man, that was my childhood. That's what I loved. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be Superman. I wanted to be a hero. I wanted to live the life of him. You know what really got me to? Was not just that he had the superpowers, although I like that. For some reason, God touched in me to say, I want to live a life like he lives, going from one good deed to another, rescuing, helping, doing this and that and there. That's what I think captured me about the heroes, that they live this life of such significance and meaning and adventure, and everything is for a great purpose that they're living. And this followed me through my childhood, you know, Lone Ranger radio broadcast. My dad brought those back from the past and helped me to listen to those. Don Quixote de la Mancha, remember him? Man of La Mancha. And then also, my family actually got me this movie, just as sort of a half joke, but we also enjoy it. Remember this that came out? I got this at Christmas. Corny 1980s sitcom, The Greatest American Hero. Anybody see that show? I thought I was going to watch this and say, oh, this is, boy, was I adult back then for watching this. But actually, in watching it, I was fascinated all over again. That's one of the reasons I'm preaching to you on this today. This was just amazing. It's about an ordinary guy named Ralph who happens to go into the desert and receive a super suit from a spaceship that enables him to do everything basically that Superman can do, saving he lost the instructions. So the whole show is a big farce and satire and comedy about how he's trying to learn how to use this suit. But in one of the interviews on this, Bill Maxwell, the FBI agent, says afterwards of the show, he says, what fascinated people about it was the idea of wonder, what if that were to happen to me? You know, wouldn't that be cool? You're out there in the wilds of Florida, spaceship comes, give you a suit, okay, take off, you're Superman. Wouldn't that be great to live a life like that, flying this way, that, saving this and that, superpowers, and the confidence and everything that comes along with that? Boy, I think heroes inspire us because they have qualities in them. Character, courage, moral purity, confidence, and powers and competence in their situations. Their love of good and going from deed to deed and significance and meaning. That touches something in us. Because we wouldn't watch them except that we want to be like them. That's why they're heroes. And do you think you could be one? Do you think such a life is out there for you? Well, we'll look at that today. But I think one of the tragedies of today is that I don't see those heroes out there in the popular culture, at least for the younger generation. Do you? Where are they? Where are those of whom they will sing in future generations of our generation that shine like lights, or we're a city on a hill, or like a flag at the mountain top, waving in the breeze for all to follow? You pick a sports star, saying, oh, I want to be like him. The next thing you find out in the news, he's been peddling drugs or running an underground dog fighting, whatever you call it, and he's off to jail with a felony. While he's going in there, he's waving hello to the NBA players. Half of them are out of jail with a felony, unfortunately. And home run kings, they got all this enmeshed in this controversies about steroids. And boy, the biggest heroes of all, fathers. That's the job of a hero right there. Many have abandoned their mothers. So who are the children looking up to? And even Superman. Oh, my beloved Superman. I was contemplating, but I thought it wouldn't be serious enough, of putting on one today and pulling it back. And I thought, hang on. Scripture says I got to be more great gravity than that. So just imagine it if you want to. But you know what happened to Superman? I saw this recent movie. Did you see that? Superman Returns that came out. And, you know, he had the superpowers, fine. He looked like Superman, but, he's been gone for 5 years. Trip to Krypton. Comes back, meets Lois Lane. Where's Lois Lane? She's got a live-in boyfriend. They're living like they were married, but they're not married. They get an illegitimate son, 5 years old with them. And at the end of the movie, guess what you discover? There's a correlation. Superman's gone 5 years. The boy's 5 years old. Ah! You connect the dots, okay? I'm not going to go there for you. But you know what? That just deflates me. I want a hero that I can look up to, that I can believe in, that I can rely on, that calls me to aspire to a greater life, a Superman who can't tell a lie and who is out doing good no matter what the cost, at the cost of his life if need be. So where are the heroes of the day? Where is the flag at the mountaintop waving in the breeze? Where is the city set on a hill? Where are all those lights shining in the darkness? Well, let's take a look where they're supposed to be. According to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about this kind of a hero, not a hero of the world, but a hero of the faith. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works, your good deeds, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." God's got a prescription for you. He is actually planning in his mind to give you what you dreamed of in childhood and have since, when you matured, forgotten. Wouldn't that be great? What if you got a suit today? What if someone came down and gave you this power, this life, this significance, this string of good deeds from this day to the day of eternity? Woo! That would be awesome. Well, God plans to give it to you. And listen to what it says of our days. You think David was great? Elisha says in Zechariah of our days, "On that day the Lord will put a shield about the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the feeblest among them on that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord at their head." In the church age, we are supposed to be shining the best, the weakest of us, like David of old, and the best of us, like the house of David, like the angel of the Lord himself. So God has got great things for you. Could you be one? That's my question. The rest of your life, could you be living this life of the hero that is of the faith? Well, there's a couple qualifications. You may think, I don't qualify. Let's go through them. I got three here from the scriptures. Let's see if you can check off, see if you might be qualifying for this life. Number one qualification according to scripture for the heroes: David, Elijah, Elisha, Peter, Paul, and the rest. You first got to admit that you are no hero, that you have sinned and done wrong, that you have been anything but a hero. Can you do that? That your life has not been all these things that you aspired and dreamed them to be in the Lord? Well, think about this. You got David. He slew Goliath, stood up against the giant, struck him to the ground. Here's his prayer. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy steadfast love. According to thy abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Look at that. Is he a hero of the faith? Say amen. Amen. If he is. Whoa. Okay. Back up. Horses. Rein him in. Okay. Is David a hero of the faith or what? Obviously, yes. He's confessing, I am no hero in this. That's one of the qualifications. Take Peter. What did he do? He didn't slay a giant, but he walked on the water. Sounds better than Superman. He did better than Superman. He raised the dead. He actually had the power to do that with Christ in him. What's it say of him? Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A maid came up to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them all and said, I do not know what you mean. Denied Jesus two more times. Immediately the cock crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. That's the first thing a hero needs to do. Daniel, he saw the future. He saw to the end of time. He could interpret dreams. Something no one else could do. And it says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of the people of Israel, Gabriel came to me. That's Daniel 9. Daniel confessed he was a sinner and no hero. Paul said, I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. Can you make that confession? This is the number one qualification. If you want to live, hey, you know, look at what's happened to me, you know. If you want to live that, according to God, the first thing you've got to do is say, I am no hero. I've sinned. I've done wrong. I'm anything but a hero. Because if God's going to make you into something, he doesn't want your strength or your wisdom to lean on. He wants a real superhero, a hero of the faith, a hero from heaven to preach his word with power and signs and wonders. And to do that, he's got to first get rid of you so that he can make something new of you and put himself in you and do his works that way. Okay, so that's number one. You'd say, you see if you qualify. Number two qualification is that these heroes of the faith, Daniel, Elijah, Elisha, Peter, and Paul, and the rest, turned and acknowledged that God was the only hero of this world, the heavens and the earth. He only is the one who lived that life that everybody dreams of, or could have dreamed of, perhaps, if we'd not fallen into sin. He came, what does it say in Acts chapter 10? He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews 4, he was sinless. He never did wrong. He was justice, righteousness, kindness, meekness. His life was a string of good deeds from beginning to end. And when the disciples tried to give him food, he said, I have food to eat of which you do not know. They said, has anybody brought him food? And he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Oh, does that sound like a hero to you? Does that sound like the heart of a hero? He came for a mission, a purpose, significance, and his life was filled with powers beyond that of mortal men. You know, compare Superman and Jesus for a minute. You know, we always think, oh, wouldn't it be great, Superman, la la. You know what? He's from another planet, from above. Jesus is from above, from heaven. He's not of this world. You also have Superman. Hey, he can fly. Well, my Lord ascended to heaven. Superman in imagination, my Lord in truth. My Lord walked on water. My Lord can heal the sick. Superman can never do that. Sure, he could stop a bullet, but he cannot raise the dead. Remember at the end of that Superman movie? The first one? He gets to Lois. She's died. And he says, he cries and he goes, all my powers, and I couldn't save her. Not so with Jesus. Any funeral he arrived at, the dead got up and walked away. This is our Lord. He is the true hero. And guess what held him to that cross? Was it those nails? Did he get somehow overcome by the powers of this world? No. It's that he says, when they came to arrest him, don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels and they'd come and immediately rescue me out of here? But I must do what has been set before me to accomplish your salvation. So what held him to that cross was not the nails. He could have gotten down. His superpowers, he laid them aside to save you. What held him on that cross was love. Love for your salvation. The heart of the one and only true hero of this world. And so that's what saints do. That's what, if you want to be a hero of the faith, if you want the life, and even better than this, then you acknowledge that he is your hero in everything, as David and Daniel and Paul and Elijah and Elisha all said these things of Christ. As Paul says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. He's my hero. He's my Savior. So that's the second qualification. How about the third qualification? Is that if you want the life of the hero, good deed to good deed, powers, service, courage, competence, confidence, and everything, where you get that is by allowing then this hero, Jesus, to live in you. That's the great mystery of the faith and the power. See, if you're going to live that life, it's not you living it. It's not you seeking your own glory as the world would have it. It's you laying down your life, letting him live in you, bringing glory to him. That's what Paul says. Actually, in Galatians chapter 2, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And Jesus said, if a man loves me, my Father and I will come and make our home with him, in him. Is Christ living in you? You think, boy, if he did, what kind of life could I lead? Well, you know what kind of life he wants for you? Titus 2. The grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men, training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions, to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this life, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to, watch this, purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds, a lover of goodness. God has prepared for you a life where it is a string of good deed to good deed to good deed. You might not be experiencing it. Maybe you're not experiencing the power. You say, hey, I need superpowers for that. Give me a cape and tights. No, actually, no. I'm thankful we don't wear a cape and tights. Although I got this on, right? You think that's for the supermen of the Bible. Oh, yeah, if I were Daniel, if I were Paul, if I were Elijah, sure, then I could do those things. But that's not what the Bible says. You know what Jesus says to you? Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will I do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The power of God is present for your life. You can see it more and more. And this all happened with those who were people just like you. Paul, you know, it's a hall of fame, right? You think, I'll never be in that hall of fame. Not that we're seeking fame. But this happened to people like you. Do you know that people just like yourselves, look at your hand, feel your flesh. People just like yourselves walked on water at some time in history. Parted the Red Sea by power. Stopped the mouths of lions. Quenched raging fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All these things. Raised the dead. And Paul in Acts 14 raised a crippled man. They were ready. They said, the gods are among us. This is Zeus. This is Hermes. And they run out and said, men, why are you doing this? About to sacrifice to us. We are also men of like nature with you and bring you good news. So what I'm saying here is all these gifts, these powers, are all there for you too. And they are there not that you just glory in the power, but that they are to adorn the gospel that is coming from your mouth, the word of the truth, because that's what it's really about. Look at me. Am I a superhero? Maybe I could stand like this. You know what? I've raised the dead. What? Where I creeping around the cemeteries out there at night? No. But I've preached the gospel to people, and they have gone from dead in their sins to alive in God, and that's better than raising the dead, because they're going to live eternally by that faith. So we have great works before us, and these are for God. You might say, I haven't seen those, though, in my life. I got them, okay. I got the cape. I got the tights. But where are the powers? Where is God manifesting his glory around me? Well, let me ask you this question then. How much have you been striving to build up the church? That's where God's going to show his powers. You think he's just into showing off, dazzling you? Oh, a miracle here, a miracle there, just to make you go ooh and ah. No, it says here in 1 Corinthians 14, sow with yourselves, Paul says, since you're eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. What you want to do, if you want to start experiencing, and I don't want to pick him because just it's a visual example, but if you want to have the life of a hero of the faith, you admit you're no hero, you look to Jesus as your Savior, and you let him live in you, and then you strive to do those good deeds. And boy, God is going to open up a life for you. If you want to do good deeds for him, strive to build up his church, he's going to meet you wherever you do. Wherever you are, whatever you do with his power, he'll manifest his signs and wonders. And for Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so these are the three qualifications. As we're getting toward the end here, there's three new ministries that you can participate in at this church. One of them we're starting today is called the Acts of Kindness Ministry, where we're going to have teams, 3 to 5 or whatever of you, and you will simply, your goal is to come up with good deeds that you're going to go and do in the community that you will tie that good deed to God's glory, letting your light shine so that he gets the glory. You think God's going to let you just go out there and leave you hanging dry? He'll follow you. He'll go before you. He will manifest his power when you work for him in that way. Same with the seafarers' ministry, to bring the salt of his word to the sailors from all over the sea, that they may bring it back to their home countries, and also in being good stewards of God's creation and cleaning up the beach. You'll hear about this more at the lunch, so I won't go into it now. But look, there's a cape for you. There is the covering of the righteousness of Christ for you by faith. And he said to the disciples, stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Why? So that they'd be witnesses. And so you have this life laid out before you. It's in God's mind. And what I'm talking here is not hearkening back to just an imaginary friend or to some Superman of yesterday or Lone Ranger with silver bullets. I'm talking about a real life. And you can be sure of that because God himself has it in his mind to give to you. No cape, no tights, just truth. And so I'll conclude with this. Esther, Mordecai said to her, if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise from the Jews from another quarter, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? The world, my friends, is in need of heroes. Not just heroes, but heroes of the faith. And God has called his church to be a city set on a hill, a flag, a pennant, calling all people to Christ. And he will go with you with his authority as we aspire to be like him. And you with me to be like him. And Christ himself lives in us and does his works. Amen.